Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for coming to this session about ICANN's proposed strategic plan for 2011-2014. The strategic plan is a rolling three-year plan, so next year we'll do the 2012-2015 strategic plan. And so necessarily it builds on last year's strategic plan, and so it's large. It's very similar to last year's strategic plan. You know, it builds on our accomplishments and recognizes some new initiatives as proposed by the community. Sort of upgraded in some of its format and some of its considerations and how ICANN works within its community. And so I want to take you through that. The plan's been through a few iterations. There's been, I'll take you through the process, but there's certainly been drafting done based on community input, and then a draft published, then more iteration made based on the comment there, and then now we have this proposed final version of the plan that's put before the board that they may consider at this meeting or may not. As you know, the whole meeting schedule is a little bit schmagegy because of the devotion being paid to the interaction with the GAC and the unique opportunities that presents. But nonetheless, this important work is nearing a conclusion. Those of you that aren't on the phone but came to the meeting got a one-page handout where ICANN's strategic plan has been distilled down into the focus areas indicated on this one page, and we think this is our second attempt at a one-page version of the plan. The first was last year, was received by the community very well, and if you look on site, you can see the changes between last year's plan and this year's plan. I think the color choices this year, you know, I like the, I don't know if I'd call that olive, but I find it very soothing to the eye and just draws my eye to it, make me want to look at it, and gives me a sense that ICANN is a competent place where good work gets done. So we're going to, not necessarily in this order, describe the changes in this year's strategic plan. And the changes, again, are due to two things, really. We actually did some stuff, so there's accomplishment. And so we have to recognize that accomplishment and say what's the next step, and also some initiatives provided by the community. I'll probably say that a few more times during the slide. Just before that, I'm going to describe the planning and the process that was followed to build up the plan. It's the strategic plan, you know, to in a certain sense, is the product of the ICANN board, right, because they set strategy for the company. But in ICANN's environment, there are seats in front of you, hey, if you want to take them. But it's certainly in ICANN's environment, the community plays a very large role in formulating that plan, and then talk about next steps for the approval of the plan. So this is ICANN's vision and the mission statement that comes from the bylaws. So, you know, ICANN sprang from the green paper and white paper that discussed its possible formation, and then the bylaws that are still a remarkably pertinent document given all the change in the domain name space, the internet, and ICANN. Still, one finds itself continually referring to the bylaws for guidance. And so ICANN's mission, as described here in this slide, I'll talk for another 30 seconds to give you time to read it, is embodied in that slide and in that mission. And really, there's really four sort of, don't change the slide yet, but there's four sort of pillars to that mission, right? There's ICANN's primary objectives of preserving DNS stability and security. That's one. Two is to promote competition and user choice or consumer choice through initiatives such as IDNs, new GTLDs, creation of the registrar marketplace. Then there's building and ensuring the good operation of the multi-stakeholder model. And then fourth, which is all you, you know, everybody who comes is to an ICANN meeting that is not ICANN staff or board, is essentially an ICANN policymaker, and that's why you come here to contribute to ICANN policy formation. And fourth is to make that participation global. So we've, in the strategic plan, then if we can go to the next slide, really is built around these four pillars, but they're slightly changed. And, you know, starting on the left and going clockwise, because even though it's the Northern Hemisphere, you know, the four pillars in the strategic plan are really built around DNS stability and security, probably the paramount objective in the mission statement, and then ensuring the promotion of competition and choice. And then how do we do that? Well, we want the ICANN staff, we want part of the strategic plan to really focus on ICANN staff and doing a good job. And that's really built around the IANA function and doing a great job in providing IANA services. And then the rest of ICANN's core operation and providing services to its contracted parties and policymaking groups and other organizations with whom ICANN shares a joint responsibility in administering to the domain name system. And then finally, a healthy internet governance system where ICANN, all of us here as members of ICANN, participate in internet governance and strive to have the greatest model for internet governance, which we think is the ICANN model. So those with the strategic plan is built around those four pillars. And again, those are the you that come here, and there's a slide coming up. Those four pillars are in this one pager, and we're going to talk about it more in a second, but all the strategic initiatives are under one of those. So how did we get at the plan this year? Well, there's a lot of words on this slide. But it started in September with staff, the ICANN staff itself sort of doing an assessment. Every department and ICANN staff that was associated with one of these four pillars, which is just about every member of the whole darn staff, came and contributed to a reformulation of the objectives under these pillars. And right away we consulted with the leadership in the ICANN community, the chairs of the GNSO and CCNSO, ALAC, and had meetings with some of the RALOs, the regional at-large organizations, and used that input to compile sort of a white piece of paper or blank piece of paper exercise. And with that, formulated a draft plan in November and posted it for comment. In Cartagena, we met with several stakeholder groups, many of those same ones, certainly the CCNSO, the stakeholder groups in the GNSO and at large, and took comments on the plan. Conference calls were held with those organizations. In parallel with all of that, the ICANN board formed a working group to consider changes to the plan or how the plan should be formulated. And we met with them on two occasions. One in January and one in February. And then and so then in February we took the public comment period session that was conducted online, plus the conference calls, plus the meetings we had in Cartagena, and revealed this, published this version of the plan that we want the board to consider. I'm going to take questions and comments at the end of this, though, and if there are any remote comments, because in putting the plan before the board, if it happens here, we can say, but you know, we want the board to consider and approve this plan with these. You know, here's some comments we got here in San Francisco that we think should be incorporated. So tell us to make these changes to the plan and enact it. So your attendance here is not just to receive, but to give, right? To give comment. So what? So that was the process. How do we change the plan? Well, one big area of the change is really directed by the board, but we heard it in many different places, and that is, you know, ICANN's plan is filled with all sorts of goals. Some of them are very lofty, like ensuring DNS uptime, where ICANN doesn't have a lot of direct control, right? And some others are, you know, performing excellent IANA services where ICANN has a lot of control. And so I think we need to recognize and putting out there a number of objectives, some of which where you have control and some where you don't, is sort of perilous. Because, you know, it's not up to you necessarily whether you're going to succeed in that objective. So we created this other way of looking at the plan that's on the other side. I don't know if it's the back side or the front side. But on the other side from the one pager. And it distinguishes areas where ICANN has influence versus where ICANN has control. And I think that's a really important distinction because we really want to measure ourselves against this, right? And so in attempting to do that, we want to distinguish where ICANN has influence over and versus control. So you'll see a page of prose devoted to this situation in the plan. And this chart, which again is this great mixture of green and blue that's pleasing to the eye, but I think important in whether you're measuring ICANN or whether you're helping ICANN achieve goals kind of defines what ICANN, you know, the big ICANN, all of us sitting here, what ICANN's role is. So, you know, DNS uptime, we have less certain, but in company operations, we have much more control over that. So that's a very important distinction. And then another key change to this year's plan was in response to the community input that they wanted the outcomes to be more measurable. So we included, we devised and included 38 objectives that are more or less quantitative. And so then as you read this, think about making quantitative objections for a strategic plan. Remember, it's not a detailed operating plan, and so you don't want to make things too measurable, or you know you don't know exactly how you're going to go about something. You know, something's in a strategic objective, so it's broader by nature, and so we tried in formulating these objections to strike that right balance between you know something that really belongs in the operating plan but making this measurable. So at the end, we can measure success and then pat ourselves on the back because we won. So I just wanted to share this reorganization of objectives. So if this is on Adobe, right? So if anybody's watching at home, they can kind of see the back of the handout and how we've struck this balance between influence and control. It's kind of fun to push stuff around on the chart. And then I just wanted to point out we changed in those four focus areas, we changed some of the wording. On consumer choice, competition, and innovation, we really wanted to promote that we're trying to ensure consumer trust. And so with the potential launch of new GTLDs, the delegation of IDN variant TLDs, acknowledging the role of governments, the interest law enforcement has in participating in this model, we really want to promote the fact that it's one of ICANN's strategic objectives to promote consumer trust. And then the last one, healthy internet ecosystem, really referred to you know our whole policymaking apparatus, the thing in which all of you participate in some regard when you come to this meeting. And that operates, but what ICANN is really promoting is this system of internet governance that's bottom up. That even though we move slow sometimes, is really nimble in comparison with other potential models. And how can ICANN participate in the internet governance discussion to ensure the ongoing viability of the ICANN model and operation of the ICANN model? So we, even at the top of the strategic plan, we made a couple changes that we think are kind of cool and important. So what did we change in the plan? Well, so this is the part of the presentation where I go into some details, and I will not be excruciating. When you read the plan, you'll see a lot of it is underlined, and it seems odd that a lot of the plan is underlined. And what we're trying to draw attention to is that those are the words in the plan that have been contributed by the community. In other words, we started with, you know, a basic framework of the strategic plan built largely on last year, and based on community input, there's a lot of sections that are underlined, particularly these ones right here, but others as you read through the prose. So you'll see a remarkable amount of underline, and I just wanted to point out that that's just an indication that when we write these documents, we're really listening to the community, and they're really community built documents. And you might only see, you know, a clause from the paragraph you submitted, but you know, certainly in a strategic plan, every word is carefully taken. And so when you read, you know, a clause, where did this clause from? Well, it came from the RALO that contributed, you know, something to the plan, and go back to that. So anyway, I said enough about that, I think. So where did we change the plan? Well, in DNS stability and security, we recognize the fact that DNSSEC is now implemented, so that's no longer a goal. But what is a goal now? That the DNS signing of top-level domains is taken on across many TLDs, and we have strategic objectives associated with the number of TLDs that sign their zone. So that's switched. And then RPKI is another form of signing the number space, and that's a goal in this new plan, and that's meeting a lot of success. And then also ICANN is looking towards where it says but greater outreach. ICANN needs to do a better job, I think, of working with its technical community, the IETF, for example, and the root server operators. And so that's a strategic objective. In promoting competition and choice, you know, IDNs are now launched, so that's a remarkable accomplishment. And now our goals are really measuring the success of that IDN Fast Track program and informing the IDN PDP that's being undertaken by the CCNSO. So I said IDN PDP and CCNSO all remarkably close to one another, but. And then the new GTLD, you know, promote, you know, launch of the new GTLD program is part of that. And then there's other policy development programs that'll promote benefits for users and registrants. And then several strategic objectives written around who is promoting who is accuracy, registrant protections, mitigation of malicious conduct. So there's several new initiatives there. With regard to ICANN staff and doing a good job running its own shop, there's a couple initiatives that are in-house initiatives that are important this year. One is called Operational Excellence Initiative, which is a company-wide initiative to identify through surveys areas where we think the company can make ourselves better, and then doing that. And so, for example, there's two teams now working on internal process improvements to make us more effective and efficient, and also an initiative to around employee reward and retention, and then another initiative around internal communication. So the company's involved in that. IANA is kind of ahead of the power curve on this, where they have their own quality excellence EFQM project that they're undertaking, where they've done a very serious self-assessment that while I think IANA performance is excellent, our self-assessment was harsh, and we identified several areas for improvement and then certainly enhanced contractual compliance. And you may have noticed ICANN recently announced the retention of two compliance contractual compliance professionals. I think we announced that today or yesterday. So terrific news there. And then finally, with regard to internet governance and the ecosystem, you know, it's targeted at continuing to give all of us a venue in which to develop and implement internet policy. And what is the best way for ICANN? Think about what is the best way for ICANN to participate in this international discussion about what where lay the future of internet governance. I think it's important. And along with that, you know, those related pillars that I described earlier about increasing stakeholder diversity and making our policy development processes more effective. So that's, you know, there are quite a few changes to the plan, and if you haven't read it, I invite you to read it and, you know, either happily or sadly, the time for starting the next iteration of the strategic plan is right around the corner. So if you didn't contribute mightily for this one, you'll certainly be able to contribute to the next one. So again, we created 38 new metrics. So measurable performance indicators have been added to the plan. Keeping in mind that we're trying to identify areas where we have control versus areas where we just have influence. And these goals, you know, where we have a new initiative, the goal is somewhat vague is the wrong word. What word am I looking for? Not, you know, not precise or not exactly measurable. Then as initiatives, we make progress on initiatives as the rabbit goes through the snake. They become more defined, and then so next year, where we have some vague objectives in a certain initiatives, next year they'll become more certain, and so on. You'll see some very certain objectives, such as getting 30 CCTLDs from developing countries to sign their zone. So some of them, where the initiative has been in place for a while, the measures get more precise. And then, you know, also at this meeting, we're talking about ICANN's operating plan and budget, and this strategic plan and that operating plan, you know, are linking up better and better as one feeds into the other. So that's a slide with really small font. No, go back. It was just a joke. So this is, for those of you participating remotely, this is certainly available online, and this is the one pager that's being handed out at this meeting and is the four slightly reworded pillars and the new strategic objectives. I think it's a really cool document. That, you know, if you're looking at 5 times 5 is 25 times 4, so 100 or so initiatives all on one page and encapsulating ICANN's plan over the next 3 years. So, summing up. So I think in summing up, I want to say that there's been a lot of community consultation and input to this plan, and the plan is more, you know, there's words from the staff that are essentially the framework that hold up all the content that's been generated by the interaction with the supporting organization and advisory committee membership. And so that's good. But at the same time, it is, you know, it'd be bad if a strategic plan changed a lot from year to year, right? Because if you've got this coherent plan, you're just moving it along. And I think it reflects that. It reflects from last year's plan that we have some significant and almost remarkable accomplishments, and reflects that, and then takes, you know, identifies the next step in each of those and identifies some new initiatives. So I think it's pretty good from that standpoint, too. So it's all posted. here, we posted clean version and a red line version from the draft version, so we can see that the changes have been made since the last round of comments. And finally, we think the board may take this up at this meeting. We're going to go talk about it this afternoon, whether to take it up at this meeting or whether the board, who's been very busy, wants to talk about it some more too. There's discussions going on with the operating plan and budget. We think it lines up well with that. So even though we're talking about the strategic plan and operating plan coincidentally, many of the aspects in the strategic plan have been adopted in the operating plan. We're going to continue to work on these objectives and metrics in the end. So we'll look to soliciting your help for that. So that's the presentation I wanted to make. I brought a copy of the plan. So if you have any questions, I can look and answer your questions or answer any other questions. And if not, I sure appreciate the time you've taken to come and talk to us. So are there any questions?
Ryan. Go ahead. Lynn, go ahead. Go, please.
Oh, thank you. I'm Lynn Goodendorf, and first I want to just say I think it is an excellent result and really good. What my expectations are, and you included this in your presentation, is that this will be aligned with the budget, and I just want to underscore that in all the work that's gone into this and all the consensus support, that this next step is very critical to make sure that these things are actually reflected in the budget. Thanks.
I don't know what the exact plan for the public forum is at this meeting, because again, this schedule's a little bit topsy-turvy, but the board would really like to hear that comment. I think making that comment directly to the board itself would be good.
Ron Andruff, member of the business constituency, but speaking in my own capacity. Kurt, I think that you made a good comment about the fact that the strategic plan is, I think in your words, a cool document, and it is, in so much as for anyone who's been around for a long time, we've really covered a lot of ground, and we actually have now, instead of just a big box with a title on it, we actually have very specific things in it, and that's great, and I commend you and the rest of your colleagues on having got there. And actually, I commend us all in that sense that we've ground a way to get to this point. However, as you well know, there were a couple of comments that you made, and I just want to make sure we're all clear on it in terms of listening to the community and saying that every word in the strategic plan is carefully taken. That is very important, particularly at the stage we're at within the community, that we actually build up a good level of trust and awareness and recognition for each other's work, whether it's the staff side or the community side. And one of the problems that I have is the reconciling a few of these things. In the competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice channel, the second most important point after maintaining a single authoritative route, which is obviously the most important, is increased TLD operations in more languages. And the reconciliation I'm looking for is the fact that staff is pushing back very heavily on the fact that the community has said in very many fora that we would like to make sure that community-based applications have the right to get their IDN equivalents to serve their communities. And the continual pushback from staff side is, no, it's $185,000 per string. So I can't reconcile the fact that our second most important point under competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice is that a registrant would have to pay $185,000 for every one of the languages or scripts that community might use, because you know that they will not do it. They'll pay $185,000 for one script and then force their community to have to deal with that script because they can't afford to spend another $185,000. $1 million would get you five scripts, whereas you could get one script for $185,000, pay $6,000 or $10,000 as an IDN is today, and then for $250,000 you would have five scripts to serve your community, and you would see a lot of IDNs in the route and a lot more IDN activity. So this reconciliation is a problem. It's not just by myself but by many, as you know. And so we need as a community either a very, very clear statement as to exactly why that $185,000 for Arabic, CJK, Russian Cyrillic, is needed by ICANN, because we all have a problem with the fact that this is a cost recovery basis. That's the theme. But at the same time, we know that a core portion of this money is going back to pay the costs for 2,000 applications and 2,004 applications. And there's also about $60,000 in every application that goes into a lawsuit fund that will allow staff to fight lawsuits. The communities aren't interested in that. They're interested in being able to communicate with each other in Arabic, in Russian, Japanese, Chinese, and so forth, because those are the languages they speak. So the issue really is, how do we reconcile $185,000 per string when, in fact, that's the second most important thing on our list?
So that would be a question for the operating plan. But you're in luck, because I'll attempt to answer it. So I think you're right, and that's why it's in the strategic plan to get to that. So I'll tell you that, even though it's a new GTLD question and not a strategic planning question, I'll tell you that, you know, there's great uncertainty as to the final processing costs of a new GTLD application and evaluation, and the guidebook, the fee was set when the guidebook was 40,000 words long. Now the guidebook's 80,000 words long. There's a lot more steps. We've spent a lot more on development than the $25,000 recovery fee is targeted at. So that's become less. So for me, the operating guy running that program, there's a lot of uncertainty around the cost. If you think about two things. One is that essentially ICANN will receive more in application fees than is in our operating budget for a whole year. And so errors in costing for the new TLD program could really have a profound effect. And we have costed the processing out, so it's, you know, it's right on top of what the fee is. So whether we can offer reduced rates, because we will, you know, there will be lower costs for processing applications, multiple applications from one entity. But it's not clear to me that, you know, that ICANN will realize a net revenue bump from that. And so in this first round, well, we're still talking about how to delegate IDN variants and the like. And with the goals you're talking about in mind, this is just the first round. And we need to use the first round not only to, you know, burst that bubble and get some new TLDs out there and get some new IDNs out there, but, you know, hone the operating model for doing this so we can routinely, you know, and with certainty cost the thing out. And then we can go out and push the cost way down for some, or develop some mechanisms where those that can define the fee. So, I'm really for. I wanted to make one more point. What was it? And we also start. You know, we also start from the point of reference that $185,000 is high, but $185,000, you know, could be termed as low, you know, compared to the operating costs and the startup costs and all that for new registry, which has to be done, as you know, more than anybody, as much as anybody here, very, very competently from a technical standpoint. So anyway, so in the slightly longer term, yeah, you're right, but we find ourselves right in this time, you know, we're on hold waiting for this process to launch, and all of us have these goals we want to get to way out here, and we're getting impatient because we want to get there. So from a company fiscal prudence standpoint, my urging to you, go and urge the board, but my urging to the board is, let's be fiscally prudent because we just want to make sure we succeed at this.
I don't think anyone in this room, if I may, just a quick response. I don't think anyone in this room or in the community will argue what you've just said. There is a balancing act that has to take place between good corporate governance from the point of view of fiscally making sure that we don't bankrupt the organization with the issue of the community. But I don't really feel that the communities should be punished because of a fiscal argument. And what I'm saying by that is, Once the review has taken place, technical, financial, legal, all of those things that are the four, you know, four or five key elements, once that review has happened, for a community then to have the ability to have their language if in the Arabic script, that doesn't cost anything. $10,000 to pay for that is actually a windfall for ICANN to give that translation. So I think that argument is well made, is not wholly captivating. It's the at the end of the day, it's not for the new TLD operators to be worrying about ICANN's fiscal issue. And we've spoken about this, and I do understand, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school when I say the fact that the 185 costing is probably now maybe about 250 or 300,000 in reality in terms of all the aggregated costs because of the time and so forth. You never said that. No, Kurt never said that. I'm talking extemporaneously here about the fact that the costs have gone up vastly bigger than what was originally targeted. And so there's concern about that. But at the end of the day, the communities that speak multiple languages that are approved in all of the facets that ICANN is looking to do the review, to have the ability to use multiple scripts is not a cost to ICANN, and it's certainly not, it shouldn't be penalized to the community. And I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm Dave Kishundoyal. I'm from the ALAC, but I'm speaking on my personal capacity. I presume the operating plan is lined up with the strategic plan of ICANN. The strategic plan has certain strategic objectives related and assigned to it. I assume that, okay, there are certain metrics that you use to measure whether the objectives have been achieved. My question is, at a glance, can we know how far the objectives have been achieved for the past 5 years to know whether we are on the correct, on the right track?
So what Carol was alluding to is ICANN, regarding operating objectives, ICANN publishes a dashboard on its website that measures many of the, that tracks many of those objectives and where we stand on them. But I think, so we've made a lot of progress in that area reporting against our goals. But I think you make a really good point about, you know, if we could take this long-term view of ICANN, where were we 5 years ago and what was our plan then and how close have we come to measuring that? Certainly that's something we should start right now reporting on that. But I think it'd be really interesting to go back and say, because I don't know how many ICANN meetings you've come to, but, you know, I remember, you know, 12 staff at an ICANN meeting and us not being able to do very much at all and having visions of where we wanted to get to and seeing where we've met the plan in the past and where we've gone astray. So I think that's a great idea. Thanks.
Rudy Vansnik speaking in name as member of the Euralo, European Regional at Large. It's indeed a marvelous document, and I think that large corporations would be jealous not having this type of strategic plan, because this is a list, a huge list of activities that could be deployed. Coming to the increased public participation in multi-stakeholder model, is this somewhere based on experience that I can gather from the summit that at large has been organized? Because then there we have showed up that it is possible to have the public speaking up and bringing up a lot of issues that they think it's going to be quite important. So is this maybe an idea of going in the same direction and allowing us to have some other summits in the near future?
So that was a great summit, and that exceeded expectations. Nobody knew going into that really what to expect, but there were just great sessions. I got to address one, so that was good. So I think that is in the future, but it's not for me to say here. I'm not the keeper of the budget, and I don't. Yeah, I was looking for a thought. So do you know about at-large budget summits? Is there a planning for that? I'm looking at Matthias.
Thanks, Kurt. It's Matthias. From what I know, there is not at this point any planning for another summit. I think they're in conversations with Juan and Akram, and it's certainly something that they will look at further in the future, but at this point there's no no, they don't plan to have another summit in the next year.
One of the mechanisms in this year's budget is to take input from the community. But so I was just trying to relate from a staff point of view that it was Summit Mexico was really well received, and it contributed to the idea that we're going to have another one, which I'm sure we are. We're just not haven't budgeted for it yet. So I just want to thank everybody for listening to me, and most everybody was watching for the whole thing, so that was good. And urge you to participate everywhere you can in this meeting. There's sessions on the operating plan that are important, but also there's a lot of policy work going on. So thanks a lot, and it was good to see you.